The top is where we going. Yeah. So high that I can't come down. Yeah. We just wanna come out. Yeah. And we don't really wanna come down. Yeah. Hustling grind till we come up. Hustling grind till we come up. Hustling grind till we come up. Yeah. And you can't blind my shine, oh no. And you can't blind my shine, oh no. Yo, 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 it's the Progression Point Podcast, man. Y'all know what it is, man. It's your boy, Corey.
And it's your boy, T.Y.
And this is the Progression Point Podcast, Season 2, Episode...
Two.
What's going on, man? How you doing today, Ty?
Man, I'm feeling good. I actually just took a nap, bro.
I'm not surprised.
I took a nap, man, and...
I'm not surprised,
it was,
bro.
It was funny because... It was probably like 3:45. I told the wife, I was like, all right, man, I've been up since like almost 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had to take a nap, and I should have told her, or I should have set my alarm, bro. Like, I probably woke up at like 5:28. When I sent you that message, I was like, hey, let me.
Hey, when I called you, I was like, I know this Negro sleep.
It's real. It is real, bro. And like last night, I found a gray hair on my mustache. Out. And I'm bothered by that. I'm like, man, I am getting old in real life.
It's I got one in my beard right here. It's happening. But we getting better, man. You know what? Our 30s and here on out is gonna be better than our teens and 20s.
I believe it, bro.
But man, so let me tell y'all what happened to me before we get into this podcast.
Okay.
So me and Lil Man playing. I shared this with Duran already. Me and Lil Man playing, and he on my shoulders like he always is. So I'm like, yo, I'm gonna throw you off real quick before Mom come home. And he's like, yeah, Daddy, let's do it. So I throw him off, and instantly I hear like crying. I'm like, bro, what's wrong? His knee came and hit his tooth.
Oh.
And his teeth aren't, he's not at the stage. He's 4, about to be 5. Yeah. So you know he's about to start losing some teeth at some point, but he ain't there yet. And so I'm like, shh, man, bro, don't say that to your mom. Like, let's just, you know, just suck the little blood up and just keep it moving, right?
Just go ahead, just keep it pushing.
So I'm like, you know, the wife come home probably like 2 or 3 minutes later. I'm like, man, dude, just keep it cool, keep it G, don't say nothing. Bro, me and my wife in the room talking. This little fool coming here. Mommy, Daddy hurt me. I'm like, oh, bro, you really sold me out, bro? Sold me out like that.
Hater. He's a little hater.
Man, bro.
You got to change that in him, man, bro. You got to change that little hater in him.
I said, snitches get stitches.
Yo, we ain't no pops, man. What are you doing?
Come on,
what are you doing? Bro, like, I think that's one of the things, like, when I look at, like, when it comes to, especially growing up in, like, in a two-parent household, it's it's one of those things, because, like, you know, we didn't grow up that way.
So
it's different where all you got is mom. She's the one when I grew up, she was the one creating the problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't telling nobody.
Right.
Like, I ain't telling nobody. So, like, you know. And if you snitched on the only one in the house, that's called children's services.
Absolutely.
And you said you don't want to live there no more.
Absolutely.
It's so funny to see that dynamic where it's like, even now, like I think about like with my kids, like I can be in the bedroom, and this definitely bothers my wife a lot, and they'll go directly to her, like she's in the shower, and they'll be like asking her a question through the door, and she'd be like, you don't see your dad sit right there?
Oh, they go right by, they go right past us, bro, straight to them.
Hey, because you know they fear that it's almost like they have this intuition of like, oh, now with that dude, it's like an instant no.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, instantaneously.
Instant no. Or like, you know, it's he ain't, you know, I'm going to have to probably do some type of hula hoop trick.
Something.
Like clean the room.
Something.
Like to get any type of thing. I could ask for a glass of water. This dude probably going to be like,
nope.
Did you wash your laundry?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
So,
absolutely.
But it's something about like they go to their mama for that solace, that extra support. They probably like, he probably was like, nah, you ain't gonna play me. I need that extra love. I don't need that hush love. Right. I need that butter love.
Yep. And he is the reason why I'm in the closet doing this podcast today. Because, like, if I did it in the front room, like, because we got, like, a little space where actually it's a perfect spot for me to do this.
Yeah.
I instantly was like, man, I can't do that with this dude, man. He's going to be all up in the video. He's going to be all up in the whole, I mean, I'm going to have to shoo him out of here.
Little baby
times.
Diddy over there. Little baby Diddy, you got to be sure on him.
Yep.
Let him know.
Yep. Like, yep.
All up in the videos.
Yep.
Answer.
Yep. But, man, we got a special guest, man.
I know.
Man, a really good friend of mine, man. We go back 8 years.
Almost
a decade, man. I met him. We both went to ministry school in Oklahoma. Shout out to Rhema Bible Training Center. That's where we went. And I met this. Can I share the story?
Yeah.
Can I share?
Yeah. I actually knew you was going to do it anyway, so.
All right. So we was all, I was second year and he was first year. So I think we had probably been in the school for a few months. And honestly, like, you know, the school we went to, like, it wasn't a lot of minorities. So
yeah,
we all flocked to each other. And so my boy Dre was, I don't even think Dre met you at this point because he asked your name.
Yeah.
And so. So my brother's name is Duran, and so it was me, Dre, and a couple of guys. We was walking up to this group of black people and we were just asking each other's names, and Duran said his name, and my man Dre was like, excuse me, brother Duran, like, and
Duran.
And man, like, we laughed so hard, but like, that's when.
Hey, my name is Duran. Like,
it's Duran. But like, that's like, that, honestly, that moment sums up our friendship.
Yeah.
Because like, it's always like, we get on the phone, we'll talk for 30, 45 minutes. Like, 20 of it's serious, but the other 20, 25 minutes, this dude cracking jokes, having me on, and having me rolling. You know what I'm saying? But like, nah, man, over the last couple of years, man, we've really developed a really good friendship, and we're like-minded. And today's episode, man, we were just, me and Ty came with just thinking about the episode, and man, mindsets. That's what we want to talk about today. And Ty, go ahead elaborate a little bit more on this episode, my brother. I'll get my thoughts together.
I'm with you, bro. Like, I'm scrolling through the phone myself just to kind of make sure we stay a little bit on track,
Ram, and
mindful of time. But you know, so brother Duram, probably be like, oh, is it Durant? Like Kevin Durant?
Right. Man, I done heard so many different things. I even think somebody take my name and try to be funny when I was in school. This one teacher was like, "Is your name Dork?" I was like, "How did you?" How'd you get that out of Duran? Like,
right.
You were trying to be funny, bro.
Yeah. Okay. I see what we're doing. What's your mama's name? That's what right. Now we're about to go somewhere with it. What's your mama's name? But now, like, we were trying to figure out ways to kind of like progress in the, you know, this new season two, and really try to really add some value in a different way, because, you know, the season, we look at it as like the new reality check, right? And so we wanted to have not just a conversation and just bring more information to the people in a refreshed perspective that, you know, we've been given during this pandemic season that we're in, but also the views of other individuals to give us an outsider's perspective, where it's not just Corey and I just going back and forth on things, because obviously we live in the same city and state, and, you know, we have a lot of similar things. But when we got other individuals on other parts of the world and other parts of the country who are experiencing things somewhat similar, but just in a different way, that have a unique perspective, we wanted to be able to kind of hear from that and understand, you know, their mindset and how they're operating in their sector, and dealing with mindset. Like, that's the biggest thing when it comes to this episode, is mindset shift. Like, change your mind, change your habits is pretty much what we want people to see, because in this season that we're in right now, we need you to take advantage of this time and look at it like it's time to look at where you are right now, because your mindset is going to beget what you're going to go out and actually take action on. And you can deal with that as an adult, but most importantly, we got to really push it towards our younger generation, because, you know, I'm a late bloomer, and, you know, and some of you might also look at yourselves in the same way when it comes to, you know, understanding societal things and trying to get yourself together. And, you know, sometimes it takes you becoming an adult to try to figure out a lot of things, because I didn't have certain perspectives, you know, presented to me earlier on, and having people in my neighborhood who look like me to actually properly pour into me, to give me a different worldview that wasn't just, you know, the dude on the corner selling drugs or the athlete on the sports channel. And so I want to really kind of dive in and dig and try to, you know, see where we can get from you, Brother Duran, on how you view the present times that we're in, and what are some of the things that we can do to try to, especially dealing with the younger generation, to impact them, to allow them to see the world from a new lens, and kind of hopefully take this as a episode that is like a verbal, you know, audible version of a mentorship for, you know, some adults and some youth.
I don't know.
And first, and also give some of your background, you know.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about
yourself. I was gonna do that. Thank you. Brother Karam. Right back at you. Yeah, my name is Duran Johnson. I am a native of Michigan, Flint, Michigan, raised, not born. I was born in Pontiac, Michigan, where the wonderful Detroit Lions, they reside, where if you go there, they'll give you, for $50, you can get a... court-sized seats, you can call two plays, and five hot dogs. But, I it's funny you say that, because I came from a single-parent home. I was raised in a single-parent home. My mom was a pusher, so that means that you going to school in my house, either you're going to go to school or you're getting out. So I ended up in school. I was a behavioral specialist. I was a teacher for a few years. So the main emphasis was I work with young people developing their behavior, developing who they were, and to put them on the right path. My job in the school, I was literally like CPS in the school. So my job was to keep kids in school, not out of school. So I came, I had to think of ways to keep, to be innovative, to keep kids in school. And so, you know, I came across a lot of bad behavior
Keep it funky on this part.
You know, I came across a lot of bad behavior, you know, a lot of kids who didn't care, a lot of kids who didn't see the point of being in school, a lot of kids like, what do? What do you drive? Well, if you ain't driving nothing, I don't want to be like you. You know, all that. They're looking at the pattern of all they see. So when you live in a place where all you see is drug dealers, athletes, pimps, be real with it. Pimps, you see people, only people that get out is actors or people that's playing sports. So it's kind of hard to be innovative and tell kids that they need to stay in school when school in that region doesn't seem like it's going to avail anything. So why stay in school? And so one thing the Lord told me, I got saved and I went to Bible school and I became a pastor. So now currently I'm a pastor. And so being a pastor, I get to see it from the other side of the spectrum. Not only am I trying to give you salvation, but I'm trying to give you the tools. Because let's be honest, man, living in the hood, nobody teaches you how to do a bank account.
Not at all.
Nobody teaches you how to invest your money.
Not at all.
Nobody tell you. You know, I'm gonna tell you something, man. When I went to my first year in college, it was this guy, man. He was riding around in a Hummer. And you know, back when I was in, you know, back that's 1998. A Hummer was like, you was balling. I was like, how did you get a Hummer?
Absolutely.
He said because his guidance counselor told him to go get a trait first and then go to school. So this brother was already making like $70,000 in school.
Wow.
They don't tell the Negro community that. We don't get an opportunity to see those things. And so something I was talking to Corey about, and I enjoy you guys' podcast. I listen to it. I'm not just on here, but something I was saying, and I wrote it down, it was change your mind, change your behavior. So what I want to do is I want to go back to our communities, because I was just talking to Ty just before we started, and I was saying how back in Flint, Michigan, where I'm from, it looks like a third world country. I mean, every school that I went to from elementary is they're dilapidated or they're closed down. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to keep it real on here. Right. Flint has 60 churches in it. And it's Crime 60. USA. 60 churches Six, in it.
Zero.
There is churches, and I'm not over exaggerating. There are 60 churches in that city. And it's like, I mean, if let's be honest, the Bible say one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. Who's yeah. the church putting to flight? Because crime, yeah. I mean, we had maybe a month ago, they said that like 22 people got shot. I mean, so you think about this, like what behavior is being changed? What are they developing in the children yeah. to change? And so you have to see a different perspective. And if you don't see a different perspective, you're going to continuously do the same thing over again. You know, bad actions followed by bad thought patterns. When I was in school, I went to school for behavioral science, and they told us that everything that you do is a pattern. They said it's such a pattern that even if you was trying to go somewhere else and you go down the same street all the time, your mind will automatically turn down that street, even though you were trying to go somewhere else.
That's a fact. Yeah. I've done it. You know what yep. I mean? I've done that numerous times. So that's so true.
So everything is a pattern, man. So what we have to do is we have to change these kids' perspective. And if we change yeah. their perspective to see that having a bank account, having this, being able to, you know, invest, you know, the biggest thing out right now that's making money is Airbnbs.
Yep.
Yeah. Why not get into that? Right. Flipping right. homes is like the thing to do. Why don't you get into yeah. flipping homes and try to put some money in your pocket or try to do something different? But somebody has to show them that to see you that you'll get some right. money out of it and you'll yeah. do different. I'm pretty sure you guys heard of Eric Thomas.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's my man. I listen yeah. to E.T. All day long.
Come on, Corey. E.T. the man, dude. You know, I didn't know anything about E.T. I listened to him the first time. I was like, why ain't been listening to E.T.? Hey, from Detroit. I'm like, what's going on?
Right.
Like, where you been?
Right.
They said he went back to yep. There's a video out where he went to a school and they was disrespecting him.
Yeah. He was like, I go to these Jewish schools and these rich white schools, and he said they come out with a piece of paper. He said I come back to my own, and this is how you do me. He said me and Ty talked about this last week. He said yeah. a rapper came here last night.
Mm-hmm.
He said I didn't see them come to none of y'all schools. He said they came to take. I come to give.
Yeah,
but it's a mindset.
It's a mindset. Yeah.
It's a mindset. Like I mean, like Ty and I. One of the reasons we started this podcast is because, like Ty said, we felt like in our lives right now, we're late bloomers.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, but we want to help, right, right. But we want to help other people not be that. You know what I mean? But it's we're talking about today, it's mindsets. We got to change the mindsets.
Let's be real though, man. Like, I'm just going to take all of the pot off and be real. To help our young black men. Because the black men are so far behind. I mean, think about this.
Ain't no eight ball to be behind. You're not even behind the eight ball.
I was with my wife, man. And my wife is so progressive. You know, she grew up in a black home, but women, they get told the nitty gritty stuff they need to do. They get told to open a bank account, go out and do this, get money. I mean, when I met my wife, she was making $100,000 a year. Matter of fact, over. She, you know, when I was a teacher.
My wife was a nurse.
Come on, man. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I'm sitting there like Absolutely. This, like, huh? Excuse me. What? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, she's so progressive. She knows exactly what to do. They always have, if you go to any church or any after school program, it's always geared towards women, pampering them, telling them what they need to do with themselves. Young men, they throw a ball in your hand. We playing dodgeball. We playing all this. They don't have fundamental programs like to teach you how to be a man, how to lead your family. How to take care of your kids, what to talk about this. We're so far behind, and that's the reason why the black male is so far behind, and we most of the time live it off women.
And I'm going to say this too, because me and Duran, we're not going to go down this rabbit trail, but we talked about it.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to stay clean.
I know. But like you said, us as, I'm going to say just us as a whole in general, we get mad at a certain demographic because they know how to play the game. And we don't understand the game, but we got to understand that this country was built on the game. And the game, when I say, is just loopholes, taxes, all that stuff. That don't care about If you know the information, you can play the game too.
Yep.
But you just got to understand. You got to understand to play it. You know what I mean? But like we're talking about this episode, it's a mindset. What are we going to fill our mind with? We're going to fill it with useless information, which is Cardi B and what's the girl named Meg Thee Stallion and all this stuff. Up, or we're going to pick up a book. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to WAP.
Listen to a WAP, right. Listen to a podcast. What are we going to do? Like, man.
You know what? Can I say this real fast? And I don't mean to interject. I don't know if Ty can already say something, but you know, the mindset is this, and I think, I mean, y'all probably can agree with this. Yeah, you know, you come from Chicago.
We love our people. We love y'all.
Listen to this. I love Black people. I love us. I love our communities. But the number one thing I used to hear when I was in high school all the time, man, I'm about to get this job, man. Then I'm going to get me a QP. I'm going to flip it. And then I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to get me a runner. And then I'm going
to. I've been there. I mean,
that was the mindset. Yeah. That's the mindset of every person in school.
That's all we saw, though. Yeah. That's all we saw. But honestly, that's an entrepreneurial mindset.
It is.
It's just in the wrong way. Me and Ty, you know, we talked about this last episode. We watched Boss, The Black Experience in Business.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that movie, I mean, that documentary, it turned me up, bro. I saw people under way worse circumstances that we have now thrive. But they thrived out of necessity. We lost that drive.
Yes.
Because we are, if you look at us now as a whole, we should have that same tenacity, that same drive to go out and make it happen. But through we have it.
You think about it, George Washington Carver. I mean, how many things did he produce out of a peanut? And then you think the traffic light was created by African Americans. Yeah. The fire truck was created by African Americans. Everything you go back, it was you integrated in there was us. We did it. I mean, how many people you know in the hood? You know, we see the pictures of the memes where somebody put a air conditioner in the car and they got air conditioner, and they can fix anything, man. Back in the day when I was younger, you probably remember this. They used to hook your cable up for $30. They'd go up the pole and hook your cable. Yep. There was nothing that we couldn't do in the hood. You had to do that, come around fixing people's cars, fixing bikes.
Yep. Yeah.
We have
right there on the street.
Yeah.
Right there on the street.
We have it. We just, you know what it happens sometimes? We get lazy.
That too.
And see, that goes into the next question too, when it comes to, I'm glad you actually said that, because that deals with, you know, what is a negative mindset in its origin, right? Like, where would you say that origin of that mindset when it comes to, you know, going into like looking at a show like The Boss and seeing people that were in a time period before our current generation of, they took whatever they had, the peanuts, the nickels, the two rocks that they could rub together and created wealth. Or they took a skill set that they were abused by, which was from servitude.
Sharecropping,
and they turned it into a business. So now when you look at us where we are as it relates to our current generation, I agree with you when you say that we have the ability to, like, the drive is still within us, but why do you think it has subsided though, right? Like, why do you think it has kind of like, you know, when you look at, you know, the pulp in orange juice, like, it feels like it's settled though. And then if you just shake it up, what are the things that we got to do to shake it back up to really get people to see the ingenuity and the innovative mindsets that we actually still have?
I think it's two things, man. I think it's follow through and something the Lord told me, live to finish. And live to finish means that the population of Black people who start college but never finish it, the statistics are outrageous, man. We start a lot of stuff, but we don't follow through. I'm gonna be real serious. Like, even if you get into the church world, when you get into the church world, every evangelistical Caucasian church, they take from the Black church, they just push it. Their follow through is huge. They're doing what we're doing, but they take it to another level. What we do is we start it, then somebody take it from us, and they finish with it. So, you know, something I was telling my wife is that there's three things that we need to learn how to do. And this is just coming from being a pastor and just natural. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to plan. And then we know how to proceed. And that proceed means take action. That means we need to take a business plan and not only just write it down. How many of us got go like, yeah, I'm about to be Just like the dude who say, I'm about to get McDonald's, give me my first check, about to get me a QP, I'm going to flip that, and then I'm gonna get me a couple of runners. Well, you already got a business plan. That's a business plan. If you just take that and put it in another direction, you can make money that can help other people. And do we know how to put a business plan together. We just lazy. We want it quick. We want it fast. We want it right now. And you know the problem with African-Americans, us, I love us, but we want it now. We don't want to go through. Like, we want to say, I got my QP, I'm going to flip that. Next week, I got a Mercedes. Yeah. The problem is we don't know how to say, I'm going to put this over here, build, and go forward with that. And so what happens is you know, the Bible has an answer for that. It says evil communication corrupts good manners. And what that means is that when you're around an environment, you become that environment. So the more you're around that environment is going to infuse you. You know, I came down here, and I'm going to be real. I'm down here, and I pastor a 95% Caucasian church. My church is full of white people. Don't ask me how it happened, Ty. I have no idea. I don't have no idea. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn from everything they do. I mean, we got people in our church that own businesses. We just got a girl in our church. She's a microbiologist. And we got other people and stuff. Don't ask me, Corey. I don't know. I don't know why they follow me. Wow. They're doing that. But they're in our church.
But that's kingdom, though, bro.
That's kingdom. Thing. And so why not learn from them? Why come in there and be like, y'all need to watch Good Times. Y'all need to learn how to be like Martin, eat some chicken, you know? So let's come to church and learn from this. I'm trying to learn the business world. So I'm going to learn from these business people and learn how to take it. Then I can take it back to another community and build them instead of always saying, well, we did it first, but look at us. Yeah. You know, we hate on the other people that do it, but at the same time, they're doing it. And I learn from them. Learn from them.
Now, I agree with you, bro. Like, it makes me think, like, think about the generations that we've been through where they've come and taken, right? Like you mentioned that earlier about them coming and they resource us from our skill sets to our talents, right? They saw what we had and they just know how to turn it up. And it's so funny, like I was, I had a friend of mine in Boston and she was asking me a question about, cause she's Palestinian and someone was telling her she gotta, you know, own her blackness. And that's a whole nother conversation that we can have in another podcast. But I kind of like, she felt uncomfortable with even doing that. And I kind of gave her a breakdown and I told her that, you know, when people say stuff like that and they look at black, number one, black in America it's its own identity now, right? Like when, you know, because we were derived from we don't have a tribe. So when you look at labeling a community of individuals of color, especially in America, when you say black owned business, you're talking about a culture now. Like you know, people getting offended and all this other stuff. But the point that I'm getting at is when you look at us as a culture and you look at who we are and what's been taken from us as it relates to how our talents and our skill sets and our perspective on things have been manipulated to where it looks like it was never our own. It's one of those things now where we can take full advantage of, all right, well, let us source from them now. Right? Like we've been allowing ourselves to try to get to a point and then they've been taking from us. Now let's reverse engineer that. Let's go into those environments. Let's cultivate those relationships where we funnel everything, whatever you have. Like if you have this wealth, white person or, you know, or person of another, you know, culture from my own, and you are at another level or a scale, I don't need to envy you. I need to look at that as an opportunity for me to actually take advantage of and source it for myself. Now it's time for me to siphon from you and be able to leverage that for my own benefit. And I feel like that's the thing that we should do. But what would you say for either one of you when it comes to individuals who are in those mindsets still? Because right now, like we're saying things because we understand where we are, but where do you go about discovering that information, right? Like you mentioned earlier about being in Flint, where does a young person even know to even start to even gather that information for themselves? Like they might not stumble upon this podcast. They might not, you know, discover, you know, where, you know, your church location or the relationships that you have. So what are some nuggets that if someone that we do know does listen to this or someone else that is of influence and that has a understanding like we do, what is some of the steps that you would recommend them to go about to ensure that they're communicating these perspectives and these tools of influence that we do have to kind of leverage it?
I thought Brother Corey's about to jump in, but
I did, but go ahead.
I'm gonna say this really fast that it's amazing that you even segue to that, because I written down in my notes, I said, will you invest in me? So we need to, especially us, Ty, Corey, myself and other people, we need to start taking it upon ourselves to do something, to put ourselves out there so these young people can have a mentor. Without a mentor, you'll never go to the next place. I mean, you think about actors. You look at Denzel Washington. Do you know that he has a coach? He has a speech coach. He has an acting coach. He has several different coaches that helps him coach along, but he's the only person that gets the the award.
The accolades.
The accolades. Yeah. So, you know, the thing with, you know, I'm not bashing again. I want to say that. A lot of times, you know, that's one thing where African-Americans, we fail at. We don't want nobody to help us. We want all the credit. We want to say, listen, get rich or die trying. Self-made millionaire. I did it on my own. Nobody helped me. I mean, and so that you can't do that. Nobody is an island. You cannot. Absolutely you not. Cannot succeed by yourself. And so I'm going to just say this, that I want to put myself out there because I have a program that I want to put together called Changed. And the end of change is ED, which means educate. And so I want to educate young men, and I don't want to be the end all be all. You know, I'm going to throw a plug in there. Me and this friend I have, he's a pastor from Bermuda. We're putting something together called The Gathering. And he's really big, and he went to school for production, so he knows how to do movies. He's written two books, and so what it is we want to do is we want to start bringing people together. I told Corey about it, and bring people together and teach young black men how to succeed in life and how to go to the next mile, how we play the game, as he said earlier, learn the game, then play the game, succeed in the game, then take over the game. That's how we do it. But somebody has to invest in you.
Yep, and that's what I was going to say. Like, it's up to us as far as going, like, us becoming the things that God has put in our head and the images and the dreams that God has put in our head, and then we take it back to our communities because, obviously, nobody else is. You know what I mean? And so I can name somebody right now from my hometown. If he went back and really invested, things would be different. But you know what? Yeah. He's not. So
I'm gonna say this, man. We have several people that have come from Flint that are
You told me.
I ain't gonna even say names.
I know that.
Ty, I'm gonna say this. Flint is still waiting on water.
That's crazy.
Flint doesn't have any schools. We have so many athletes that have come out of Flint, and not a one of them, and I'm gonna tell you this, when I was working in the school system, there's a basketball player. If I said his name, you know exactly who I'm talking about. Yeah. He came back to our community and was trying to he was charging $1,000 for a basketball camp. Like, he didn't come from Flint. Like, he didn't know it was low income. Like, he didn't know it was welfare. I'm going to leave that alone.
That's crazy.
But see, that's the problem that I have with a lot of people that look like us that are in a different position. It's almost like we've adopted the slave mentality or even the generation where, you know, culturally, where when we were freed as slaves, we learned how to establish community, right? But one of the things that they tried to do and that we've kind of accepted is they established division, right? When they were, you know, creating the highways and the byways to actually go across neighborhoods to establish separation. And when they started doing, one of the things I and this, again, these are topics that I'm sure I'll be looking forward to just having you on to really address, because one of the things that I had a friend of mine, we talked about, Duran, was just looking at how the need of removing the segregation system completely, how it's kind of like pretty much cut us off at the legs, right? Like, there was a culture back in the day where it was understandable, right? Like, you're not going to give me the trash books while you're out here getting the best education. You're not putting me in the best position to succeed. But it's almost like we took that desegregation approach to where it was like, I want everything that white people have, right? Now, there was a lot of us, obviously, who took advantage of those situations, but it's almost like if you look at our culture now, where a lot of you know, the young people, you know, even, you know, some Gen Z, some, you know, Gen Y, Z and X's, a lot of us have allowed ourselves to look at, oh, well, you know, I just want it to be given to me, right? Yeah. Like, you took what desegregation was supposed to be, which is, no, I'm gonna fight for this because I have the right to have quality housing, have the right to have a quality education. So I'm at least want what they have. Now that we do have access and we live in such a free commerce of, you can get access to any information, any book, any there is no anything. It's almost like, what are we seeking now, right? And it makes me concerned that when I hear an athlete like that who, bro, like, you've won, why are you not being a well for the community? You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't come to become a well now, or you thought you were, but you're, you know, it comes with a paid subscription, right? Like, you know, you're not a free well. Like, you thought that, oh, I'm gonna teach these kids, you know, how to play basketball, but it should be, if you really are a person of the people, you should know the community that you're actually going to, and it should be a free camp, or it should be, hey, we're providing this. It should be, what I look at what LeBron did in Akron, right? And seeing how those kids ain't got to worry about uniforms, they ain't got to worry about transportation, they ain't got to worry about the types of books, their guaranteed college education, post-graduation. It's like, that's the example that we should be setting culturally. Yes. When you see an individual like that from a broken community, yes, don't come back to the community to right. actually siphon from it. But you know what? Let me pour back into it. And then one of the reasons why I'm looking an example of LeBron, because again, this is a dude, I don't know what his faith values are or whatever, but when you look at someone in a secular environment and they take advantage of their resources, and you go back to a team that you don't even care about the owner at all, but you knew that you had a mission in mind, right? So we need to have a mentality like that where I can go back to an environment, regardless of what the government, regardless of what an employer, that I have an agenda. Have an agenda. And so what about some of those people right now that you could, you know, we can look at those individuals who do like goofball stuff like what that athlete did back in Flint, but how can we encourage those who are probably listening prior to this statement being made about, hey, what can you do? How can you, LeBron, your current culture, how can you influence your immediate circle? What would be some of the things that, whether you, Durant or Corey, would, you know, kind of say directly to those individuals?
I feel like we have the resources. You know, when you go to other schools, and I'm saying other schools, I'm going to use that loosely, not in the African-American community. When you go to other schools, they don't mind pulling on the resource. They don't mind calling their local basketball teams, football teams, soccer teams, tennis teams, and saying, can you invest in us? No, they'll keep calling until you say yes. We give up the first time. I've seen it firsthand. And so what we have to do is we have to invest. So we have to get to the place where we have notoriety that we can go into a community and say, I don't need the government to help me. We got the cash. Corey, you write a check for $100,000. Ty, you write a check for $100,000. Durant, write a check for $100,000. Let's build a center where we can have kids come here and educate them. That's what we have to get. And we get mad at these people, you know, and I'm going to say it again, just have to say it, these faith churches who preaching these faith messages, but they got the money to back what they're saying. So they don't need you. You're teaching poverty, living in poverty and staying in poverty, but talking about the people who are progressive. So I don't understand that, because I'm tired of, that's the mentality that we have to get out of, the pattern that we have to get out of the handout. We're waiting on somebody to give us reparations. Yeah. We're waiting on the government to take care of our church. We're waiting on the government to bring us a Boys and Girls Club, when these other people, they just build it.
Yep. Why don't you start yourself a doggone business?
Come on.
Get to it.
Come on.
Yep.
Come on. To it. And everybody, you know, okay, man, we know everybody might not, they may not be entrepreneurs. In this country, there's other ways that you could still work a 9-to-5 and make an extra certain amount of money over here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, because I know it's people who work a 9-to-5. Well, case in point, my man on ET's podcast now, he's part of ET's inner circle. You know, his name is Jamal King. You know, he calls himself the 9-to-5 millionaire. He was on the Chicago police force for 22 years, but he got into real estate. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He got he bought his first I think it was like a duplex. Then he bought a quad, and then he came upon a then he did a daycare, and he had like two daycares. Then he got just more and more properties. Now he has a security company. And then he still worked his 9-to-5 job.
And that's how you do it, man.
He learned the game. I'm gonna just call it that, bro. He learned Monopoly.
You own it, Corey. You own it.
He learned the game, bro. It's Monopoly. Yeah. Dog, how many times have we played Monopoly growing up? Low key, that's the game.
It is.
Yeah.
How much can you buy?
How much cash can you have? You know what I mean?
And it seems like he understood the idea of knowing how to slow your roll. And when I use that term, obviously, you know, we grew up in, you know, the urban context. We understand what it means. Like, you know, calm down, right? Like, we need to slow our roll in our mentality on when it comes to thinking that we have to be able to move quick. And I think you said this earlier, Duran, about everybody, you know, in our community, not everybody, but for the most part, when you look at the bulk of our community, we're impatient, right? We don't want to progress. We don't like the process of progression. Mm-hmm. And what we don't like about the process is that it feels too slow. We have such a microwave mentality of
You know why, though, Ty? Because we come from nothing, bro.
That is true.
So we can't wait. I need it now. Like, okay, my lights is off. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing in this fridge.
I need
it today.
That movie lottery ticket.
Man, I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying?
That movie lottery ticket, when he was on the stage and he said, man, I'm hungry. He said, you got this ticket that can change our life. We out here hungry. We trying to eat. You know, the thing about it is, and that's the reason why, and I ain't mean to jump on you like that, but The one thing that we have to learn is we have to go back and educate and be able to help. We need to have centers where people can come and eat. You know, that's one of the things about the church. If you get them to the place where you can supply some of the demands that keeps them from saying, I'm about to get this QP, I'm about to flip it, I'm about to get me some runners. If you can keep them from doing that and keep their mind focused,
I'm about to get this eight ball.
Come on, man. And what happened to you? What happened to you is you'll start making doctors and lawyers and business people in the inner city, because what happened is they know they have somewhere to eat. I mean, when I was growing up, we had the Boys and Girls Club.
Absolutely.
I learned how to swim from the Boys and Girls Club.
I told my wife when we lived in Milwaukee, you know, we had a huge Boys and Girls Club. Man, that Boys and Girls Club low key saved my life. You know what I'm saying?
Mine too.
And so,
mine too. Yeah,
but man, something that Ty and I also talk a lot about, and me and Duran talked about as well, but is accountability, man, and ownership of where we are right now. And I feel like we don't want to take ownership of where we are, and we want to pass the buck to everyone else. And like I've said before, there have been systemic you know, laws, you know, with redlining and other stuff that's been put in place, but it's 2020. We gotta look at ourselves and like, okay, where we dropped the ball.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so many different places.
I would even add to that, bro, like, because I think sometimes what we'll do is that we'll paralyze ourselves, because like, let's say for example, like watching like that documentary on PBS about The Boss. Some people will be like, well, shoot, how am I going to win then? It seems like they're just going to just tear everything down. Then what's the point, right? Some people will perceive it, to look at it from the wrong lens instead of
some people take it like me and you and like, yo, let's get it.
Yeah, let's get
like
it.
This case, like nothing can stop me. You know what I mean?
Not. And it has to be that thing, bro, like where, like.
That's mindset though, Ty. Like, that's mindset though. Because it automatically goes back to the negative.
Yeah. Like it automatically you feel goes so back conditioned there. That you feel like, oh, I'm supposed to always perceive that ain't nothing that good. Right? Nothing, you know, does anything come good from this community? And even if it is, you're the exception. Right? This is not a common thing. And then going back to what you just said, like with the mindset thing, it's really taking us as the people who are the influencers, right? Like Duran mentioned, this is like mentorship plays such a significant role. Like You have to be willing to be inconvenienced is what that sounds like. And I think we got to pretty much say it directly to anyone that's listening is you have to choose to be inconvenienced to see change happen. Because if you choose, if you think that it's going to be comfortable and you try to figure out the best way to make it work in your schedule and like, oh, I'm going to just donate 10 minutes. No, it has to be disruptive. If you're trying to disrupt the mentality, it has to be disruptive in your actions.
Right.
So that's how I feel like where it comes to us as the ones who are the know-betters, you know better. This is how you're going to be able to create change. And for those who are on the other side where accountability for you is, bro, you need to look at it and you can't hold on to a past pain and act like it's still relevant today. And like you said, like there are systemic situations, but it has never been a time. I told you this like off of the movie Friday when a little Indian dude said it. It's never been a better time to be black in America than it is right now. Like, I don't want the 60s. I don't want to be born in the 60s growing up at that time. You know what I'm saying? And that was at the beginning of them trying to establish some form of civil rights to where we can stop drinking from dusty water fountains and being told to go to the back of a diner, you know, like, and that's just when we're already not even slaves. And so in any prior period than that, prior to that is even worse off. So it's like right now, as much as it could look jacked up with police brutality and government perspectives on situations, bruh, the fact that we can have free thought, we can put ourselves in a position to have our own platform like this.
What a future, bro. And Drake say, what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
You know what, I'm going to say this, man. With the day and time we live in, you get black people on a white platform, which is called Facebook, owned by a white person. Yeah. You talking about him on his platform.
Yeah.
And talking about you can, and you talking about we live in a place where you can't get anything done. But I wrote this down, man, and I want to say this. I said every assignment starts with a plan and a vision. But the only way you can get a vision and a plan out, you have to come outside of your four walls. If you stay in your four walls inside the ghetto forever, you will never know anything different. You'll stay in the same pattern. Because you know how many of us used to back in the day say, I ain't eating no sushi. That's raw fish. Well, that's called sushi. I swear. You know, but now how many of us eating sushi now?
I'm killing.
When we used to go to a steakhouse, we'd say, I ain't eating no bloody steak. Now we like, give it to me medium rare.
That's all I want.
Our four walls, man. If we don't come outside our four walls, we will always have the same mentality, doing the same thing, producing the same kids. We got people that six generation food stamps. I mean, they doing this and they can't get outside of their four walls. And they say, I ain't being like them people. When I was in school, they would say, I'm not talking like them white people. No, that's called talking proper. That's not called talking white. It's called talking proper English. And it gets you somewhere.
My wife dealt with that growing up. You know what I'm saying? If you talk to my wife, she talks proper. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, but she said, man, like, you know, she dealt with that growing up. I want my kids.
My wife too.
I want my kids to talk as proper as you can. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, look, man, you walk into somewhere with your pants down, coming in smelling like two QPs.
Some dank.
They've already written you off, bro. Ooh. I got a job. I got a job, right? I've never been in a managerial position up until this point. So when we lived in Tulsa, y'all know me. I love shoes. I'm surrounded by shoes right now.
Shoe game tight.
So, man, you know, I wanted to get a job at Finish Line. So I went to the Finish Line mall at Woodland Hills, and I went in there just for a regular position, bro. So I came in there with the button up, pressed iron slacks, pressed iron, nice crease, dress shoes. And the dude was like, look, we was talking, and you know, I turned my, hey, how you doing there, Drew? You know, I turned that voice on. You know, he was like,
brought that bass down.
I brought that, right. He was like, yo, he said, I don't have a position for you, but I know that my man over at Promenade is looking for an assistant manager. He said, dude, I'm going to call him. Bro, I got that job.
You learned the game, man.
I learned the game, bro. Like, but honestly, I played it. You know what I mean? Like, but I didn't. And honestly, as crazy as this sounds, I learned it from my ex-girlfriend. Like, yeah. I never, because, like, bro, I was hood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just kind of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I probably used to go to interviews with jeans, some dunks on. You know what I mean? But I did have a resume. I did at least learn how to write a resume, so I'll take a resume.
Yeah.
But this girl, she took me to JCPenney one time, and she bought me some slacks, shirt, and some dress shoes. And, like, from that point on, bro, like, I was like, okay, this is how you're supposed to dress for interview, because I got a job after that. You know what I mean? But I said, I like to say this. You have, like you said, like I said, you have to learn the game. But two, take accountability.
Yeah.
Take accountability.
Yeah.
Go in there, look the part, you know what I mean? Have some sense about yourself, and you'll do like I did, bro. Like, and then, like, I just kept getting, by that one door opening, when I moved back to Illinois, I had two jobs at the time. I worked at Zoomies, and I worked at Champs. Zoomies, I was a key holder. And then at Finish Line, I mean, at Champs, they tried to give me a store. But I was like, I don't have 2 years to wait to go through all the training. I'm like, I'm married, I got kids, I don't have time to wait. You know what I mean? But all I'm saying is to say this, learn the game, set yourself up for your future and for your family. Quit thinking about yourself, because that's what you're thinking about, and thinking about people who don't even care about you. Dog, yeah, man, we got to do better, man. We got to take accountability. We have to take accountability.
Can I say this?
We're putting ourselves in a hole.
You know, we live in a stereotypical world. Everybody has stereotypes. We watch shows.
We have stereotypes about all the
folks. We see Asians. Like, look at Jackie Chan. You know, we see this person. We have a stereotype about everybody. Everybody is stereotypical. So what we have to understand is see us. Right. Like the show, I love that thing. When they see us, what do they see when they see us? So when they see us, they're already threatened, because by movies, they see us as gangsters, thugs.
Yeah.
We'll rob you. They always think that, because when you walk past, they click, 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 click in a little thing.
I had it happen so many times.
I have too, man. So you know what? We have to get out of the stereotypes. So when we go somewhere, it's not turning on something. It's saying, I got to play this game. Because you know what? Listen to this. I mean, I was watching, I'm going to tell you what I watch all the time. I watch Homicide Hunter with Joe Kenda. And I was watching something. This guy literally was going to work, and he was looking for the murderer, and Joe Kenda was talking to the person that was killing people, because the way he looked. He looked so clean, and he was so cut, that by the end of the show, he said, this was the dude killing people? Because it's how he carried himself. So if you carry yourself different, nobody will ever assume it's you. You can get under the radar and go to the country club. You can get under the radar and hang out with people, learn the game, play the game, then take the game back and show everybody else how to play it.
It's the takeover.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's really pretty much, like, if anyone that's listening, you're getting so many jewels right now from a perspective of you're trying to strategize to try to stay in the negative, right? What we do when we're talking about the QP and then the quarter, like whatever it is that we're talking about that a lot of these young dudes be saying.
You're staying in the red constantly.
You're trying to in the red. Like you're not putting yourself in a great position to be in the black. Like, and think about that. Like, especially people that look like us, like, let's get into the black. Let's look at black perspective. Let's look at opportunity.
I'm going to stay in the red.
You know, I'm staying red. Right? I'm blood, cut. I'm blood. Like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, but that's so funny, though. Like, you're so committed. And we talked about this last week. And I'm sure it's a understanding that we all get. Durant, like, these young people are trying to be committed to things they don't own.
Yeah.
Like, right. These blocks. Like, you don't own this street. If the government wanted to call it, you know, Sally Mae Boulevard, but you know, it's called, you know, Brittany Hills or whatever you want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, Sally Mae Boulevard is an
Cabrini Green.
You're part of Cabrini, right? Yeah. Like,
Robert Taylor Homes. What did they, I'm from Illinois, so I know exactly what they did with all them government housing authorities. They kicked all them people out, spread them throughout the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. And gentrified it and turned it into, if I'm not mistaken, gold, the Gold Coast, and other places downtown Chicago.
They doing it right now in Flint, guys. They got it right now. They got a program. Flint downtown don't even look like Flint. They did phase two and started building $200,000 and $300,000 homes, and they're moving everybody further back in the corner and say, move them out.
See? And that's the thing is, like, when we live in the times that we're in right now, especially during the pandemic, like, a lot of you who are listening to this, you might not be in – you might not be doing too much, right? Like, things are still shut down. People are still, even when you got little things trickling and opening back up, it's not business as usual, right? And so with that, what you need to take advantage of is when you hear us talking about, like, take advantage of the game and strategize, like, some of the things that you could do is, you know, it doesn't cost much to go to a golf club, a golf resort, $20, $30, $40 max, depending on how nice that particular place is. Allow yourself to have these conversations with people who are in those spaces, right? Like, go to what's the golf range, Top Golf, like, go to Top Golf and engage in conversations with people across you. Do, like, meetups now. Like, there are meetups online now where you might not be able to do them face to face, but you can join some of these virtual clubs and just, even if you want to be a fly on the wall just to hear the conversations, pick up on some of the vernacular. Allow yourself to be amongst that type of environment. And again, speaking primarily to those who want to make up excuses and say, well, I don't know what to do. If you got a smartphone, don't be dumb. Right? You have the ability to download these apps. You have the ability to take advantage of these meetup groups. You can take advantage of, like, a lot of the people, like, right now, to tell the community right now, I have a global community of people in Asia, people in Africa, people in Europe, that I created a GroupMe account for all these people who are trying to be in business and in these different groups where I get up at different time zones because I push myself to get up in these different time zones to have these conversations. And the reason why I'm saying that is that it took me engaging in a Facebook group, free platform, so no money included, and then reaching out and having conversations with people in that Facebook group who has similar interests, and then creating an outside group through GroupMe, free platform, and then having conversations with these people and then doing virtual meetups like we're doing right now on Zoom. You don't need the paid version. If you want to keep it under 40 minutes and you want to do a group call, then do the free version. If you feel like you want to have a longer conversation and take advantage of Google Meets, like, there are ways of having community and relationship and being a fly on the wall to soak up understanding and perspective so that you can leverage the game that we're talking about, so that when you're going out here and you're hearing, like, oh, Corey talking about he got his suit game and or his dress game and his communication skills together for an interview. Like, some of you are probably like, well, I got to change myself, because it's not playing the game if you don't. It's no one saying changing your identity and saying you're someone different.
Right, absolutely.
What we're saying is that when you're playing Monopoly, you're not really the cat, the dog, or the wheelbarrow, right? You're playing a game. The objective is you're playing towards to get to the end result, which is to win.
You know, but in some of these instances, Ty, and I'm just going to speak from my standpoint, not the progress point. I'm talking from Duran Johnson. So if y'all want to want to talk to me, holler at me. So you can see me at Duran Johnson Ministries or One Encounter Christian Center on Facebook. Listen, guys, sometimes you're going to have to play the game to win. You're going to have to change who you are, because there's some doors you're not going to go into until you become a different person. They say that most CEOs read between 3 to 5 books a month. And I'm going to say this. There's a certain amount of books they read. There's a certain amount of things they put themselves around. There's a certain vernacular that they use. There's a certain, you know, even myself, I was like, I'm going to keep it real. I used to be that person, Ty. I'm going to keep it real. From Flint. We murder capital USA. Pop, pop, we'll blow your brain. But, you know, that's why some of these churches, they have senators coming to their churches. That's why some of these businesses have the government in their pocket, because they know how to play the game. I want to be one of those churches where the senator, the governor, the mayor comes to my church and frequent it. Because you know why? When those grants and stuff come out, they're like, oh, I know who can use that. Duran. But if you own your podcast all the time, tomorrow, I can't stand the government. They stupid. Well, guess what? When those grants come out, they're going to take it to the Methodist church who always saying, come eat here. You have to play. If you want to be a part of the game, you have to get in the game and play the game. My favorite.
And you don't have to, and you don't have to lose yourself.
You do not have to lose yourself as a person. Yeah. You just have to change sounding ignorant sometimes when you go. You can't go everywhere to my what up, cuz. Listen, even those actors who you look at T.I., he don't talk crazy on certain stuff. He don't. Nope. 50 Cent. They don't talk crazy. Now they do that in no videos. Man, then they get somewhere else. I'm like, yes, how you doing? I'm like, wait a minute. Did you just change on us? Did you flip flop? They still, but they getting that money. They getting that money. And you got to get, I'm going to say, I'm going to plug for John Maxwell book right here. Thinking for a Change. That's one
put
book.
Put it back in the screen. Listen, again.
Thinking
put
for
that, a, Put that up.
Look at that. John Maxwell. I mean, that man, when I was in Bible school, they gave us this. Then I started researching John Maxwell. I started getting all his stuff because then it puts you in a different mindset on when you go places, how to adapt to where you're going. I don't want to be at the bottom of success. I want to be at the top.
Come on.
Yeah, man, that's
look, I think that's – I think like that's just like that's it.
I want to definitely make sure that we plug your ministry, bro.
Absolutely.
Like we'll have a link with the book. Like, yeah, we want to make sure that because at the end of the day, our objective is like the jewels you just helped bring value into kind of touching what you just brought up. Like some of us do need complete transformation, right? Like there's some of us where we might have it to a degree, and there's certain things that we have to modify, and there's some of you who have to actually do a complete reformation. Like you need to be a whole new human being because you can't bring that mentality into some of these environments and thinking that just because you put
old dog ain't getting this job in corporate America.
No, he's not.
Hold on, I'm gonna say this and then I'm done. Not. I saw back home a guy went before the city council because back home they put this council together for minorities, and people were upset that certain people weren't on it. So this one guy went in front of the city council, my brother went before the city council, and he just talking reckless. Them people don't understand a certain verbiage. When you all aggressive, if you coming with facts, but when you come aggressive, they not trying to hear you when you're aggressive, bro.
Yeah.
They want facts, a plan. If you got a facts and a plan, we can move forward. But if you come in here, rah, rah, dog, they're not trying to hear it. They're not hearing it.
They won't DMX.
They've already categorized you and put you.
You freeze up.
It froze up on us.
For me? I froze up?
Yeah, you froze up a little bit.
I'm not just saying, man, they've already. Am I still there?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay. I've said they've already categorized you and they've discarded you already.
Yep.
But
and I just want to touch on what you said earlier, Duran, too, is and you kind of briefly just mentioned this here, Corey, like with the three P's, the pray, plan, and proceed.
Yeah.
To me that definitely hit home for me, and I'm hoping that a lot of people who hear this, because that's something that I've been trying to do, like what you mentioned about like what the CEOs and the highly successful do, which is, you know, when I look at like a John Maxwell, because I have a couple of his books as well, and you know, he's a guy that knows how to move in the marketplace and a person of faith.
Yeah.
And when you look at that as people who, you know, hopefully those who are listening, you know, have a foundation of faith where they know and understand how to operate in a place of faith, that you have to operate from those three P's that you mentioned, which is you have to pray, but pray with the anticipation not to just throw words up in the air and just throwing them at God, but like with the anticipation to hear and get a response back.
Yes, sir.
But as you're anticipating that response, you are writing the vision down and making it plain. You're establishing a plan. And then when you do go into the action mode, you're now allowing yourself and saying, God, order my steps. as I'm moving forward into this, and being okay with making modifications to the plan, because God can tell you to do something different, but he's not. And this is one thing I got this from a pastor at Bethel Church. He said this: God is not opposed to effort. He's opposed to earning.
Mm.
And he's not going to look at you trying to apply yourself as you trying to do it on your own. He sees you saying that I am showing myself to be a willing vessel. I am showing myself that I'm willing to put myself out there. And I'm also putting myself in position to saying, God, I want to hear from you as I'm establishing momentum or making some type of actionary steps towards something. And you can't sit around with doing, you know, paralysis by analysis. You can't sit around just, well, I'm just waiting on God to just tell me what to do, and I'm going to just sit here until, no, action.
Ain't even working like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm about that 3P movement, bro.
Yes, yes. You know, I'm working on not being procrastinating, but I'm working on a book called Small Victories Win Big Battles, and the 3Ps, pray, plan, proceed is going to be in that. And just talking about, there are things that you have to take actionary steps. It's just like if we learn, like Corey was just saying, play the game. If you watch these movies like Jason Bourne, you watch these other movies with Liam Neeson, the espionage of it is how they can go amongst those people and fit right in, and nobody knows that they're a monk. I mean, look at Salt. I mean, you was confused at the end. You was like, whoa, she knew what she was doing? That's called espionage. Yeah. And we, as the African-American community, need to know how to go amongst everybody, blend in, learn the secrets, and then you say at the end, when my man said, go get him, Salt, you know, then you go get him, Corey. Go get your, Chicago. Go take it back over. You didn't learn the game.
Yeah.
Now they drop you off, and you go take it back over and show them what to do. Somebody do the same thing. And that's, I think, that's what I think I want to learn how to do is learn how to be a businessman, learn how to do all these other things so I can take it back to my community and build it.
Yeah.
God is about multiplication, man.
Yeah.
Duplication. You know what I mean? Like, not just fish and loaves. You're talking about people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's what we should be into, is duplicating and multiplying people. And so, man, come on, man.
We'll talk about it in another episode, but I think the number one killer of the African-American community is competition. We make competition out of everything. Who the best? Jordan LeBron. Who the best singer? Patti LaBelle or Anita Baker. We always got, and then we can't come together because who got the biggest church? I got the biggest church. Who got the biggest youth department? I got the biggest youth department. Who got the biggest?
I've been saying it.
You know, competition is our number one killer. So we need to kill competition.
Oh, no, that we definitely bringing that back up on another episode.
We're gonna have to make this.
There's a couple of nuggets that was we talked about that I'm like, yeah, bro, we gotta make sure we got you back for because I feel like we can go deep into a lot of spaces and really, because I feel like we just hit the surface in what we talked about, which is obviously mindset and how you take advantage of adjusting the mindset. But now it's just a matter of when we do have you back on, bro, like, it's definitely going to be, how can we go further? Because that espionage approach, what does that look like even further? What does that competition mindset that we have? Again, that's back to the Jim Crow days of and slavery days of, like, being put in that position to where we're against each other. Like, oh, well, Duran's lighter than me. Well, he must be been in the house. I'm out here, right? Like that.
I'm cutting grass too.
Right. So it's like, you know, like, but it's one of those things where we've allowed what they've created. And I was telling this to somebody too, like, it's crazy how in reality, white people are the minority globally, right? If you look at it from a global construct, they are technically the minority. How did we let a minority dictate and manipulate the majority of black and brown globally? Right. And that's the art of war. They knew how to strategize and manipulate and take advantage of perspective of what we deem to be valuable. They knew how to manipulate that. And again, that's, we can go down a rabbit hole on how deep that can, how deep we could go in that. But I just want to kind of like let people know, like, we are aware of other things, and that we're not going to leave you as if we're just giving you everything we got right now. I want everyone listening to know, like, no, this is going to be a continuum. Like, this conversation is nonstop. Look at this dude showing his
shoes. I know.
No, I'm going to say,
ladies and gentlemen, we just want to let you know that we're going to.
No, listen,
Corey's
listen.
Corey's about to donate a pair of his kicks to
some 13s.
I will. 14, size 14. But we need to stop making him rich. I'm done.
Yeah.
I bought a lot of his sneakers, man.
Are you?
A lot of sneakers. Let's put these into some. I'm not gonna buy none. But
okay.
I used to be OC. I used to be OC, bro. I buy a pair. One or two pair of shoes a year. I used to buy like way more than that. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, like, the Nike Cortez is them dope mans. I wear them all the time. They $149 now.
Bro, yeah, I was thinking about getting some Cortez. It's so funny that you brought that up. I was literally thinking about getting some because I was like, man, I'm about to bring the Cortezes back. And I saw that the price went up. I'm like, wait a minute. That used to be like under $100. Now they over there like, nah, we're going to go ahead and raise the price.
Yeah, bro. I'm done with that.
I think Corey froze. Look at him.
Corey on Amazon buying some more Jordans right now as we speak.
I'm back.
He paused himself so he can go buy some shoes.
He said, I'm done after this order. After I take everything out the
shop. He was acting like he was froze. He was like this. But his phone was moving. Like his body was froze, but his fingers was moving.
He said, after this sneaker apps order, I promise.
And I'm in this closet, man, because of these kids, man. So my I got the highest internet speed. I'm in this closet because of these kids, man.
Yeah, you
got. Hey, but Durant.
Yeah.
I got to sign us off, man. I got to sign us off.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed this. I appreciate you, bro.
Everything.
Oh man, this was fun. I love it.
Thank you. This was very fun. And so, we're gonna continue to talk a few minutes after this. But man, we gotta sign off, man, for time purposes. But man, we appreciate y'all, man. This is the Progression Point Podcast. Follow Duran at Duran Johnson Ministries, right?
Ministries, yes. Or you can go
on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram. And you can also follow my church at One Encounter Christian Center, www.oneencounterchristiancentercc.org. Go look us up.
Follow us up.
Yep, find the links attached to the podcast and the channel and everything else. You'll be able to click on everything from in the description.
Yes, sir. So, man, you already know what it is. It's your boy Corey.
It's your boy T.Y.
And this is the Progression Point Podcast, man. We'll see y'all next week.
Burr, 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 burr.